I have to be honest, I love a good nativity play. But the ones I really love are when things don't go quite according to plan. They go off script a little. I heard of one nativity story where Mary and Joseph had been cast, but not everyone was happy. And it came to the day of the presentation when all the friends and family had gathered around. And the story proceeded, and Joseph and Mary come to the innkeeper's place and they knock on the door, and Joseph asks that question, "Have you any room? Is there any place for us to stay?" And the innkeeper looks at Mary and says, "You can come in, but you definitely can't come in because I wanted to play Joseph." I love that story because it illustrates something that's most of our experience around Christmas. We may want the magical elements and everything to go perfect and all the food and all the family gathered and everything like that. But often there's a mystery that happens at Christmas, as with the first story, and most certainly there is a messiness that happens. We may not have cows and sheep coming in and out of our bedrooms, but for most of us, our life and our Christmas is a little bit messy. And I think one of the reasons that it's messy for lots of people is that they misunderstand the nature of the first story. They misunderstand the nature of Christmas and what it's trying to convey to us. I wonder if I was to ask lots of people in a survey, "What does Christmas mean for you?" I think I'd hear answers like, "Well, it's the season to party, isn't it?" Or, "It's a time for holidays." The most common one is, "Well, it's time for family, isn't it?" Even that awkward uncle that sometimes turns up. But I think we miss something of the original story. We miss something of why we were actually created. Some philosophers have said that we need to find our own meaning in life, that we have to kind of make it up for ourselves. But I think the Bible gives us a little bit more direction than that. Because many people have tried all the parties and families and other things, but they're left still with this sense of void. See, the truth is, whether we're 8 years old or 80, we're going to worship something. Perhaps it's a job we had been counting on to carry us, and for many people this year, that's been disrupted. Maybe people thought this will bring fulfillment to us. Or perhaps it's been an education that we've relied on. Perhaps it's been a marriage. Perhaps it's been a retirement plan. Now, worship might not be the word that we use to describe that passion or that interest of ours, yet it fits the term well for any activity or object that we get meaning or we expect life from. The truth is, in modern culture, many people recognize that there is a void. Despite all the material possessions that we have, despite all the accumulation of wealth, relatively speaking, we have a lot to be thankful for. Despite all the material goods we have accumulated and all the entertainment that we have, lots of people are still not happy. And one of the reasons is that they're worshipping the wrong things. And that's why the birth of Jesus is so important to us. Not only it is the message of hope, of love, of purpose, a meaning and direction, but I believe a central truth of it is redirecting our worship to have the right focus. Yes, Christmas is a time when we see the curtain pull back and God makes his love visible to us. It's a way in which we can answer some of the most profound questions of life. Where is God? Who is God? Does God care? Does God care for me? And the Christmas message is that God is with us. Going to play the worship team leading us in a first carol. It's called "Joy to the World." I love this carol. I love this song. It's for me a bit like mince pies. I could sing "Joy to the World" and have mince pies any day of the year because it redirects us to the message of who God is.
Thank you. joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let us receive a King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy
I hope you enjoyed that song. But I want you to go back to the original script. I want us to go back to what the Bible says to us in the original story. So we're going to have David Suchet read for us. Let's enjoy him reading Matthew chapter 2.
Hello, I'm David Suchet, and I'm absolutely delighted to be reading this wonderful passage of scripture for this Christmas service. The particular passage is taken from Matthew 2, verses 1 to 11, and you'll all know it. It's the story of the wise men. But I want you to listen to it as though you've never heard it before, because there's so much in it, and see what we can rediscover together. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel.'" Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me, so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Well, I hope you enjoyed David Suchet reading that Christmas story for us again. there's a word that's used a number of times there, and that's the word worship, because I think it refocuses us back on the central truth of that story. But Herod missed it with his worship, didn't he? He wasn't really interested. Herod was paranoid that his position and his privilege was going to be taken from him. He didn't want to be overthrown, and so anyone or anything that threatened that, especially a prophecy concerning the King of the Jews. But there was a true sense of worship. Later on in the story, we find that the wise men came and they brought gifts. It could have been anything up to 2 years later from the actual birth of Jesus, and we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks' time. But it's important that we see these gifts connected to the original story. That idea of gold. Gold was usually presented to kings. It was costly. It was something that recognized authority. It recognized rule and reign and bringing gold. They were recognizing Jesus kingly authority. Frankincense was often used as an incense. It was part of prayer. And so it's this idea that God is communicating to us and we can communicate with God. We can have that relationship with God. That God listens to our prayers. That God responds to our prayers. That Jesus came to declare the message that he was communicating God to the whole world. The fullness of God dwelt in Jesus. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Myrrh was the symbol of burial and death in the ancient Near East. And they would have understood that they were coming to do something that related to his death and burial. If you held the finished product in your hand, frankincense would look like golden raisins or fossilized popcorn. They were both extracted, frankincense and myrrh, were both resins extracted from trees. And today, gold, frankincense, and myrrh seem like unequal gifts to us. But in ancient times, people went to war over these commodities. Sometimes in our modern world, people have gone to war over oil, water, land, other resources. Well, the Roman Empire had a budget deficit at this time. And they were keen to take lands where they could have resources to feed the empire and to keep their empire strong. So it seems an unequal gift to us, but all of them had important symbols that related to worship. The carol writer described it in the words of a well-known carol. Listen to this carol as we sing, O Holy Night.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. To love one another. and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is a brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name.
I think that idea of the chorus, fall on your knees, it's a divine night. That response of worship is the appropriate response to the Christmas story, because God came to meet our greatest need for forgiveness. We sang it together. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. And in Matthew chapter 1, God sets out through Matthew the ministry and the calling of Jesus. When he was being named, he said, you will call him Jesus, Matthew 1:21. You will call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. That idea of us coming to God for forgiveness provides the greatest opportunity for worship that we could ever know. The Christmas story is a story of reconciliation. Reconciliation so that we can worship him as God intended us to be in relationship, as we receive the gift, as we give our worship to him as the one and true Saviour. And so I want to ask you a question. Have you received the gift of Christ? For some of you, you maybe did at one stage. But maybe you've drifted a little. Maybe you've been distracted by the cares and the pressures of life. Maybe you've even been derailed by the circumstances, the pain or the grief or the loss, and you've wondered how God could be in all of it. I want to encourage you today to come back and renew your faith. Understand that worship, even in the mysterious events of life, is always appropriate to do. Maybe for some of you, this would be the first time, the first opportunity to actually receive the gift of Christ. Words of the carol, O little town of Bethlehem, may help us. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell, O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. I think those words make an apt prayer and sums up the response that we should have to the whole Christmas story. The wise men understood that worship of the King, of the God who came to communicate his love, who came to reveal himself, but not just in a cradle, as the one who would eventually go to the cross to purchase our forgiveness, to give us new life, to give us hope for the future. That's why we have to connect Christmas and Easter together. They go together. And you can personalize the message of Christmas and Easter together and make it a reality for you today. Whether you're reaffirming your faith or whether you're receiving Christ for the first time, personalize the words of that carol And then when if you've done that, we would love to talk with you. We'd love to help you in your journey. You can say words in a prayer, something as simple as this. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to me, I pray. Cast out my sin and enter in. Be born in me today. O come to me, abide with me. My Lord Emmanuel. All the details of the Christmas services over the festive period will be coming up on screen as well. We'd love you to join with us. We'd love you to connect with us. You can also download our new app and keep up to date with all the media and resources and catch up on demand. You can visit our website, newlifecrawley.church, for all of the details as well. May God bless you as we continue in the stream. And I want you to listen and enjoy this new song that does exactly what we said a little bit earlier. It brings this message of Christmas and Easter together. It's called The Thorn in the Straw. Enjoy it together.
Since the day the angel came, it seemed that everything had changed. The only certain thing was the child that moved within. On the road that would not end, winding down to Bethlehem. So far away from home.
Just a blanket on the floor of a vacant cattle store. But there the child was born. She held him in her arms. She laid him down to sleep. She wondered, will it always be?
so bitter, yet so sweet. And is she seething in the straw by his head, a thorn? And is she smelling in the air on that starry night? Then the words of ancient seers tumble down the centuries. A virgin shall conceive, God with us, Prince of Peace.
Man of sorrow, strangest name, old Joseph, there it comes again.
So bitter, yet so sweet. And is she seething in the straw by his head, a thorn? And is she
she watched him through the years, her joy was mingled with her tears, and she'd feel it all again, the glory and the shame. And when the miracles began, she wondered, who is this man? And where will this song?
Against a darkening sky, the sun she loved was lifted high. With his dying breath, she heard him say, Father, forgive. And to the criminal beside, today with me in paradise. So bitter, yet so sweet. And did she see?